Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I want to welcome all of you that are listening to the broadcast, no matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. This is Brother Nate. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So amen and amen. Thank God for another blessed day. Wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for another blessed day that you have given us, another opportunity to go into the Word of God. And we ask today, God, that you will bless us on this day as we go into your Word. Help us to understand the Scriptures, the meaning of the Scriptures, and what thus says the Lord in the name of Jesus. So, God, we will give you all the glory and honor and praise and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Amen. We thank God for another blessed day, another opportunity he has given us. Thank God for all you've been listening. We are on part 3 tonight, Spiritualist Reincarnation, Divine Judgment, Eternal Progress, and Miracles. We're looking at part 3 tonight. Third witnesses tonight. Amen. I want to encourage you all who are first-time listeners. As you listen to part 3 tonight, go back and listen to part 2 and part 1 to be caught up to speed. Amen. Glory be to God. I encourage you, every last one of you who are first-time listeners tonight. Once again, this is being done that you may know what the Word of God supports and what it doesn't. We're dealing with the religion of Spiritism, and we're talking about what they have to say concerning the reincarnation, eternal progress, you know, miracles, divine judgment. And I want you to understand that, once again, this is not something where this is being done to glorify myself, but it's being done for the glory of God. Amen. Not for me, but for the glory of the living God. So we want to definitely keep that in mind. Amen. And that you may discern and know truth from that which is false. Amen. Because God does not want you to be deceived. God wants you to know the truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And he wants you to know the truth concerning these religions. Many of them are saying stuff that, you know, is supposed to be of God when it's not. Okay? And so once again, God does not want you to be deceived in this manner. Glory be to God. And so as I said before, the purpose of talking about these religions is not to toot my own horn, to make me sound like I'm better than anyone, but this is for the glory of the true and living God. This is what this is all about. Amen. And once again, I pray that you keep this in mind, you know, as we, as I come with the Word of God with you today, you know, on this particular thing. Amen. Glory be to God. So keep that in mind, you know, as we go into the Word of God today. And don't be fooled by, you know, when you hear people use the word God or Jesus or Christian, don't always think that, you know, it's really of God. Search things out, okay? Learn to search things out. You know, that's very important, okay? Because it's going to be the difference between you being deceived and not being deceived. And many people in this day and time are being deceived. You know, one of the reasons simply is because that, you know, they won't search the scriptures, okay? And they're going by what people are saying, that they are of God and all that, when they're not of God, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So keep that in mind, you know, as, you know, you hear these different religions and organizations who are going around saying, you know, God and Jesus and all that to make you think that they are of God. As I told you before, even the spiritualists, when you look on some of their websites, they even tell you, say, hey, we're continuing with the teachings of Christ. Well, you got to find out, is they talking about the Jesus of the Bible, okay? Or is they talking about some kind of false Jesus, okay? So remember and keep that in mind, you know, study, search. Whatever organization or religion you come across, okay, search and look up. See what they say. Is what they say truly line up with Scripture? And don't forget, when you study, ask the Holy Ghost to be with you in your study, because the Holy Ghost will show you things that you wouldn't see with your regular eyes, okay? Sometimes, you know, it's just like when the servant, when Elisha and his servant was together, and Elisha saw this, his servant saw the armies, you know, finna come against them, and Elisha's servant, you know, starting to panic and wondering what's going on with, and Elisha would tell him that, hey, we got the Lord on our side, we got help, and he didn't see it with his natural eyes. And then, so what? Elisha prayed to the Lord, to God, to open his eyes and let him see spiritually, and he saw, okay? And see, that's what the Holy Ghost would do, you know, for you in your study. That's why, you know, never start studying without the Spirit of God, okay? You know, many of y'all hear me tell you about getting your books and getting your dictionaries, notebooks and things of that nature. And pencil and paper and concordance and all that, and that's true. In your Bible, that's true. But none of that by itself can work alone without the Spirit of God, okay? You got to have the Spirit of God. So whenever you're studying, don't forget the Spirit of God, okay? Do not go into studying the Word without the Holy Ghost. People, that's a big no-no. You don't want to get into that, because if you do, you're going to get into a great error, okay? You don't want to do that. You don't want to get into that error like that. So make sure when you're studying that you don't do it without the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God with you in your study, okay? Without him, you can't make it. And I pray that you will see that. Amen? Now, having said that, let's look at our first thing again, and about the reincarnation. As I told you before, that the spiritualists believe in reincarnation. Now, part one and part two, I read to you what they had to say, and I won't too much go into it again. If you want to hear that in its entirety after the night, go back and listen to part one and part two. Click the Bible, the picture of the Bible there. a Dropbox will come up, say episode, and you can go back and listen to it there. So we're going to look at our third witness tonight to show that spiritualists are wrong about reincarnation. So let us go to the book of Job, chapter 7. The book of Job, chapter 7. I'm going to give you a minute to look for that. The book of Job. Book of Job, chapter 7. Amen. And we're going to look at, verse 9, book of Job, chapter 7. Amen. Notice in Job, chapter 7, verse 9. Look what the word of God has to say here. It says, as the cloud is consumed and vanish away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Do you hear that? See, in reincarnation, and not only spiritualists believe this, but there are other religions. In reincarnation, those who believe in reincarnation believe that you can have been in existence in another life hundreds or even thousands of years ago and come back as a different person or come back even as an animal, okay? Spiritualists believe the same thing in reincarnation. In fact, one of the reports I gave you in the series on the spiritualist before this part here, I told you by a guy, a well-known spiritualist name, I think his name was Maurice Barbanel, and he supposed to have been claimed that he helped so many millions of people with their lives and stuff like that through spiritism. And one of the things he said was he got all his ideas and all this stuff from this one named Silver Birch. Well, come to find out, Silver Birch was a person who they believe lived over 3,000 years ago, and he died, and he come back as a Native American Indian, okay? But see, the Word of God shows us here in this ninth verse, seventh chapter of Job, this being our third witness, that reincarnation is not true, because he said, as the cloud is consumed and vanish away, so be he that go down to the grave shall come up no more. That's reincarnation. No, that shows you that there's no such thing as reincarnation. You're not going to die and then come back into this dimension, you know, as someone else or something like that. Okay. Reincarnation is not of God. God's plan does not involve no reincarnation. You get what I'm saying? So Job tells you that, okay? Job lets you know. Plus, too, we'll throw a little nugget out there. You see that he said, as the cloud is consumed and vanish away. So sometimes, you know, we have dreams. There are three types of dreams. Dreams, one come from God, one come from Satan, one is a soulless dream. And so here, I'm throwing a little nugget out here. One of the symbolic meanings of a cloud is dealing with a person. I said one of them now, because you have to look up what represents clouds in different scriptures, okay? Just like it said, as the cloud is consumed. The word as is like a simile. When you see something, say as or like something, that means it's not exactly it, but it's kind of compared to it. So just to throw a little nugget out there, if you had a dream concerning, let's say, a cloud vanishing away, then you see the symbolic meaning to that is God talking about man. You know, when he dies and goes to the grave, he come back up no more. Okay. He's not gonna so cousin Johnny that you heard about who lived 50 years ago, he's not dying and coming back as another person. Okay? So reincarnation is not of God. You understand? It's not of God. And that's what spiritualists teach. They teach is reincarnation. They believe in reincarnation. That silver birch that this Maurice Barbanel was talking about was nothing but a demon spirit. Because remember in the series before, I told you and that spiritualists believes in, quote, as they say, communicating with the dead. And I share with you that they're not communicating with the dead. They're communicating with a dead spirit, and it's a demon spirit that have nothing but death. But you're not actually communicating with the person that passed. It's all a deception. Amen? It's all a deception. And you got to remember, Satan is the king of deception, okay? Yeah, amen. He's the king of deception. Glory to God. And so he works through these spiritualists who are mediums to deceive people and make people think that they can get in contact. Because here's the thing, you know, we all suffer loss. We lose loved ones, people especially that we was very close to. And, you know, in our heart, I just like to hear from them. I like to talk to them. And so Satan knows that. And so he have these spiritualists set up to come and tell you, say, hey, like I said, and this is not to down people in a sense. We all suffer loss of loved ones, someone we're close to, and we be really hurt. And we just want to hear that voice again or talk to them again. And so, you know, the devil know that that's not in God's plan for no reincarnation or to communicate with your dead loved ones. So he plays the deceiving card. And for those who are grieving, to make them think that they're talking to their dead loved ones when he's using that to curse them. Okay? Because Satan tried to use anything he can use to cause you to open up the door to him to have access to your life, as any of us. Okay? He'll use that means. You know, whether he got a friend of yours coming to your house with a Ouija board and say, hey, let's fool around for a minute, you know, ask this thing some questions, you know. They say it doing this and that, I ain't believe it, let's just do it for fun. Okay, well, you turn out doing it, and you find out the thing do start moving on its own, and you scared. But see, you just open up a door for a demon to come in your house or, you know, in your life to afflict and do, and except you repent and break that thing, he has the right to afflict you. Amen? Now, the second thing, once again, we'll talk about here, that they believe in is dealing with, they believe that there is no divine judgment. That there is no divine judgment. They don't believe that there's judgment that comes from God. They don't believe that once you pass and go into the hereafter, that there is no judgment of God. In fact, in some parts of their website, they believe that you're going to judge yourself. Amen. They don't believe that that's a divine judgment. Now, I gave you two witnesses. Part one and part two, I gave you two witnesses. Now I'm going to come to you with a third witness and let you know that there is a judgment that comes from God. There will be a divine judgment. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I want to go in there. Romans chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. And let's look here at verse 12. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. In fact, let's start with verse 11. And the word of God said, for it is written, this is Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. And the word said, for it is written, as I live, say the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Every knee, every tongue. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. To be what? To be judged of him. That's divine judgment, people. Do you hear that? Judgment that comes from God. Everybody got to give an account to God. Okay, you're not going to just go into the hereafter and just mosey all around in there, okay? You're going to be judged by God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you may, to a degree, escape the, quote, judgment of man here on earth, but you won't escape the judgment of God. See, just for example, you got, you know, the American judicial system is in bad shape. Now, I got to admit, other countries' judicial system is a lot worse than ours, per se, but we're still in bad shape. We have a system that many times favors certain colors or race. And in some cases, we have a judicial system that favors certain genders, okay? And there have been times that there have been people who've been up for committing crimes who have gotten off. And they have gotten off either because they are some part of a secret society where the judges, let's get real, that the judges are connected to them. You know, the lawyers are connected to them. And they get off basically scot-free for committing a heinous crime. Okay? And also, we come to understand about, especially our judicial system here in the United States, in some degrees, and some people, they can be bought. Okay? Sometimes jurors are bought. Okay? And then sometimes jurors are scared to death. Okay? And so you find that certain ones who have committed heinous crimes get off scot-free from man's judgment, but they got to face God's judgment in the hereafter. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there is divine judgment, people. There is the judgment that proceeded forth from God. Now remember, the spiritualist teaches of who they call God is a creative force. So they don't look at God as being a being, but a creative force, okay? Amen. And so just looking at him as a creative force, well, of course they would say there's no such thing as divine judgment, that there's no such thing as any judgment coming from God, because they don't believe that he's a being, okay? You believe it's just a force. Well, of course, you know, not going to sit up there and say a force is going to be judging us. So therefore, they would say that, okay? They say he's a creative force, and now they don't believe in such thing as a divine judgment. When the scriptures shows us from the Bible that it is. And see, some of their, quote, churches, I've seen they twist the word of God and all that. That's why I said, be careful, people. Be careful in these last days. Have a searching heart. And you know, that's my prayer, personal, one of the things in my personal prayer to God. God, help me to have a searching heart. I don't want to be satisfied. Once again, this is not trying to show nobody up or always have an evil eye at people. But I don't want to be one of those who are content with just man just saying stuff without searching it up. Because we're living in the days of deception, people, where it is very easy to be caught up in something that's ungodly. I mean, it's really easy. Some people have gotten caught up in ungodly stuff not intentionally. They really didn't intend it. They just either didn't search the thing up, or they may have taken some people's word for it, okay? And come to find out later on, they say, oh, my God. Man, I'm in this. Man, this stuff ain't of God. Man, this is demonic. And had to repent, okay? So it is very easy to get over into something that is ungodly. So you want to keep yourself with a searching heart, and searching is involved in studying, okay? So in your prayer to God personally, make sure it involves, say, Lord, help me to have a searching heart, which is part of the study that you told me to do. Because you will be amazed when you search things up, what you find out about it, that these religions didn't tell you up front. Because remember, they're very cunning with their wording when they want to attract you. Okay? Very cunning with their words, soft, soothing words to draw you in. You go, oh, they're very peaceful people, loving people. I think I'm going to join them. Then you go to some of their buildings. Oh, they have the beautiful buildings. Oh, my goodness. I think I want to be a member. But then when you find out what they teach and believe, you know, when they calling God with two horns of a goat and a goat head, and you start going, wait a minute, that look like, oh, my goodness, that ain't true living God. I'm telling you. Amen. So have a searching heart to search things out. That's why we're going over this now. So they don't believe concerning the divine judgment. And then sometimes on some of their websites, you know, some of their churches say, well, we believe in, you know, in this, like, you know, and they'll say that they continue on with the teachings of Christ. But you have to really find out if they are. You have to study deeply to what they're saying, okay? Spiritism, people, is not of God. It is not something God started. It is not something God endorsed. Spiritism involves the connection with demon spirits. And so remember, one of the goals of Satan is to get you to completely reject everything about Jesus, period. In fact, to reject the notion that he even passes judgment in the hereafter. To have you thinking, I ain't got to worry about giving account or nothing after I leave this earth. I ain't got to worry about answering to nobody. Hallelujah. Now, the third thing is eternal progress, okay? And they believe that, and it's eternal progress, that when you die, give you example. When someone here on this earth is wicked and they die, they go to what is called a state of justice, you know, but then they end up progressing to a place of happiness. Now, remember, I gave you the first witness in Revelation 22 that tells us that he that is righteous will be righteous still, and he that is filthy will be filthy still. And what that means is that whatever your condition or your life here on earth, if you are righteous, when you die and go into the hereafter, you're going to be what? Righteous still. If you were wicked or filthy in this earth and you die in that wickedness, when you go into the hereafter, you're going to be wicked still. You're not going to go into the hereafter being wicked and then progress to a state of happiness. Amen. You're going to remain in that condition that you was here on earth. This is why it's so very important what you do here on this earth. That will set your destiny in the hereafter. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 12. We're going to look at a third witness that proves that there is no progression. You know, they say every soul is open to this progression. Every soul. Okay. Amen. And I gave you witness number one, the angel in Revelation. Witness number two was Jesus as recorded in John chapter 5. And witness number three will be Daniel, okay, to show you that there is no eternal progress. You, whatever condition you was in on this earth, when you die, that's the condition you're going to, that's what you're going to be in. This the condition you're going to be in. It's no progression. Or progressing, okay? Amen. Now, glory to God. This is what the Word of God says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Word of God says, and at that time, and let's talk about the last days, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now stop there. Now remember, this goes along with John chapter 5, okay? Now notice that it said those that sleep, and it's talking about those that have died, okay? Some is going to be raised to everlasting life. Some going to be to everlasting shame and contempt. Based on what? They had died. That means that their state here on earth, and when they died, they're going to be resurrected to the state according to their condition while they was here on earth. Okay? You see that? Because if everybody was going to progress, even the wicked, then the scripture here would not tell you that some would be awakened to shame and everlasting contempt. You see that? It wouldn't be that. If they progress like many of the spiritualists was teaching, then you wouldn't have to worry about nobody in the resurrection. Would nobody be resurrected to shame and contempt or to damnation? You get that? Because, see, early in their teachings especially, they were saying that, hey, if you were wicked, when you die, you went to, quote, a state of justice, not being judged by God now. Okay? Because I told you one part of the website, they talk about you judging yourself. But then after that state, you're going to progress to a place of happiness. Not so. Not so. Listen, how you spend your time, this is why God has us to preach the gospel here on this earth in this time. Because, listen, if you are in your wickedness, in your sins, and you die like that and end up being lost, ain't no chance in the hereafter to change it. Okay? There's no chance. Okay? To those of you that are believers, and God may have been putting on your heart to tell someone his word, you've been putting it off and putting it off. He may have been telling you to tell so-and-so to repent and come to me, and you kept putting it off. Listen, you're doing a great injustice, because they can't die and go into hereafter and then all of a sudden say, hey, I repent. It's too late. It's too late. And see, if you follow what the spiritualists been saying, or what they say about this progressing, eternal progress, especially including the wicked, then nobody will really fully give an account for anything. You know, glory to God. You can live your life here on earth any kind of way and not have to give an account of it. I mean, you can live your life being dirty and low down and doing people wrong and doing dirt and digging ditches for them and all that, and then you die, going to hereafter, okay, come to a state of justice, once again, not saying being judged by God, and then progress to happiness. What who you? Glory. No judgment? Come on. Jesus. You know, they even have quoted something from Galatians 6, and the spirituals do. They said, well, whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. Well, that's scripture, okay? So that involves even judgment, too, okay? You know, you look at it, too, in the natural. If you go out there and bust the window of a glass of a store and steal out of there and they catch you, you're going to jail. So you sold by what? Busting the window out and stealing the merchandise. You reap by what? Going to jail. So spiritualists, you know, look at what they're, you know, so why is it that you would can face a judgment while here on this earth and be, quote, even judged by man, but there's no supreme being to judge you according to how you overall live your life, okay? Wow. I say it again, wow. See, this is the teachings that, you know, they come with. And these are some of the teachings that, whether you believe it or not, there are people that have accepted this. Because, hey, to tell me that I can live my life any way I want to, and I want you to understand something. In a sense, this is not just teachings of the spiritualists. Oh, yeah. There are some people who are not spiritualists when you look at it and what they believe to what spiritualists teaching about this eternal progress. Because, once again, give you the example. Most of the sinners, when they have a loved one that died, that's a sinner, okay? And you at the funeral, what do they believe and what they say? If it was Cousin Joe, old Cousin Joe, he's up there in the pearly gates with the Lord singing in the choir. Now, Cousin Joe was the same one cussed you out, cussed the Lord out, came at you with a gun or chased you out the yard or said all kind of blasphemous stuff, lived his whole life in sin, okay? Died, and now you would put him in heaven because y'all was close. Well, you saying just about the same thing in a sense that the spiritualists are saying. You can live your life in wickedness, do all kinds of sin, and there is no judgment. Remember, there's always a payment. The Bible said in Romans 6, the wages of sin is what? Is death. There's wages. On your job, when you do a work, wages is how much money you made because of the work you did. So in the spiritually speaking, with sin, there is a wage. When you commit to sin or do the work of sin, there's a payment to come. And it ain't going to be you die, go to a state of justice for a little bit without being judged by the eternal God, but judging yourself. And then all of a sudden you're going to progress to a state of happiness. And they said this thing is open to every human soul. Really? Well, then that word didn't come from God. No, people. In fact, I've seen in their teachings where they don't believe that there's a hell. Okay? So, in fact, the Lord lets you know, wherever however you live your life here on earth, you set your destiny in the hereafter. So, if you was a Christian born again, walking with the Lord, and you die, you go on to paradise when you die to be with the Lord. If you was a sinner, rejected Christ, didn't want to accept Christ, live your own life in sin, when you die, you go to hell. You don't burst the pearly gates wide open, people. There is no pearly gates in hell. It is ugly, raggedy, smelling gates, okay? Amen. Now, let's look at the fourth and final thing, and that is miracles. And remember, I gave you a definition of the word miracle, being an extraordinary event that, you know, is manifesting the intervention of God in human affairs. Once again, I read to you something what they said in one of their spiritualist manuals. The miracles that we talked to you about by God intervention, they don't believe in that. They don't believe in that. They said that what we're talking about, God's intervention, they can get that from their mediums. Okay? That's the people who do the communicating with the demon spirits. Did you hear that? See how Satan is at work through man to get you to exclude God out of everything. Don't believe what God say. Don't accept what he say. Just exclude him out of everything. That's what they work on. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Look at our third witness here. The book of Luke, chapter 18. Thank you, Lord. The book of Luke, glory to God. Third witness to show that there is miracles. There is one where God intervenes, his intervention. Talking about the true and living God, not that creative force stuff they talking about, true and living God. Luke chapter 18. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 27 says, and this is what Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, some will say, well, what, how does scripture deal with miracles? Well, what is impossible for man to do, God can. See, man can't, quote, fully restore a withered arm, but God can. That's why this scripture involved miracles. With men, it's impossible, but that which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's why it is a miracle. Okay? Hallelujah. God is in the miracle working business today. And like I said, you got many people that don't think he is. They don't believe he is. Spiritualists don't believe that the miracles we talk about by God's intervening, they don't believe exist. They don't believe that God is at work in doing it. But see, God does. He works and manifests his power. He intervenes in human affairs. So miracles are for real. They do exist. Okay? God does intervene on the behalf of human affairs. Okay? When it's impossible with men, it is possible with God. It's just like some of you today listening may need a healing miracle. Well, you know, maybe the doctor told you that there's nothing that they could do. There's no medicine they could give. And they want you to think, because this is how man does in doctors, and that's why they're limited, that if they don't have a cure for it, then you don't stand a chance. Well, people, that's where the healing miracle come in, where God intervenes. Because no matter what the sickness is, God can remove it. He can do what is impossible with men is possible with him. Can God remove cancer? He sure can. Can he remove tumors? Most definitely. Can he remove any sickness? What you say? Yes, he can. Okay? It's impossible with men. But it's possible with God. That's where the miracle come in at. But see, the spiritualists have you believe that there's no such thing as the miracles where God intervenes. They say, well, our mediums can do that. Well, they can't heal, okay? They can't deliver. Remember, they use demonic power. And you got to think about it. Who puts the stuff there in the first place, okay? Sickness and disease, there is no sickness and disease in heaven. So it don't come from heaven. You don't read in the scriptures that, you know, Michael had to go to the heavenly clinic to get a checkup. You don't read nothing like that, okay? You know, ain't no people up there with sickness and disease in heaven. You ain't reading that nowhere. You ain't reading that nowhere where God had to heal people or nothing of that gender, you know, in heaven. Because ain't nobody sick there. Sickness and disease do not come from heaven. It is not in heaven. There's no place in heaven where sickness and disease is, okay? Now, when you look in hell, that's a different story. In hell, you can see that there's sickness and disease in hell, but not in heaven, okay? Glory to God. I think it was Sister Mary Baxter.
who had divine revelation, hell, this is the hell. And, you know, when you look at it, the people, what they were suffering there, okay, was no happiness, no peace, and healing and all of that, you know, in hell. So there is true miracles today, people, that God intervenes in human affairs, okay? Like I said, some of you are looking for a healing miracle. Some of y'all are looking for a financial miracle, okay? Maybe, you know, you need something, but your hands are tied. I was sharing it with a brother earlier before I came on the broadcast how God is going to do miracles. Even though we're going to see some greater tests that's to come, the Holy Spirit is not going to be, quote, disappeared, not going to be doing anything. And so, therefore, God is going to be doing some miracles. And I was sharing with him that God is going to do some miracles where, you know, for God to set up a miracle in our life, the thing that he's going to bring the miracle concerning, your hands has to be tied concerning it. You know, there, first of all, we are to step out by faith. And in the stepping out by faith, we step out in faith, show our faith, and it opens the door for God to do a work. But however, there's going to come a time where that your hand's going to be tied, that even though you might try this and that, it seemed like there'll be no giveaway. That's when that's the perfect time where there's a setup from God to work a miracle, okay? So, yes, people, miracles from the Lord still, it is in effect today. Hebrews 13 and 8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change. Let's cover all three tenses, past, present, and future. Jesus the same in all three tenses. You know, when you look at us, let's say as human beings, We can't say that for us. See, if you look at all three tenses for us, you liable to see a change. Now, some of you say, well, what do you mean? Like, for example, I guarantee you many of you are not totally like you was in high school. How many times you heard people say, you know, so-and-so, he didn't change where he was in school. In school, he was quiet. Now he just out. See, God, it's the same in all three tenses, okay? If he was for healing, for example, let's say in the Old Testament, which is good and right and of a right nature, then guess what? He's for it today. He performed miracles back then. He'll perform them today. So he's the same in all three tenses. So we definitely want to keep that in mind, and this is why miracles are of the Lord. There is a such thing as miracles, even today. Do not let anyone tell you that God cannot perform a miracle today. So if you're doing whatever you try to do and your hands are tied, still believe the word and watch the miracle come. Like I told you, there's some things we got to step out by faith, put action to our faith, to help and open doors to God can bless us. And then there are some things that is like your hands are tied. It's nothing you can do action-wise, but you keep believing the word. And that's, once again, it's a perfect setup from God to perform this miracle in your life. So if you are in need of a healing miracle, believe God, okay? The doctors gave you up, saying no hope. Believe the word. Stand on the word. You know, the Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, God has been dealing with me about that scripture for the past week or two. He really has. Because some things I have encountered. And he let me know that we're in a faith fight, people. Now, let me drop this to you for a minute here, Christian, that you're listening. You're in a faith fight. You're not in a faith talk. Anybody can talk a good game. You're in a faith fight, okay? We forget that sometimes. And we think that everything just come, quote, easy, with no challenges. Enemy out there, the ultimate one, his name is Satan. And he is the challenge. He is the challenge that comes, that when you overcome, your faith grows. He is like the weights that go against the muscle. In order for the muscle to grow, he has to have resistance with the weights, okay? Satan would be like that. And for our faith to grow, we have to have that resistance or challenge, okay? Now, I'm telling you how God's been dealing with me on this thing. And we forget we're in a faith fight. And you have to constantly confess your faith and constantly stand. Because when the enemy hits you, you got to hit him back with the word. That's why God said, fight the good fight of faith. We are in a, and like I said, many times we forget that we in this kind of fight of faith. And like I said, the last week or two, God has really been dealing with me more on this faith fight. Because, you know, sometimes you pray to God. Let's say if you had a sickness hit your body and you pray to God and it's like it don't lighten up. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times where and I believe, you know, you ask God and God reveal to you. Sometimes, you know, you'll find out that things don't lighten up because there are open doors of, any particular sin, and God will reveal to you and you have to repent of. But also on the other end, let's say that Satan is attacking. And you speak the word and it seems like it don't stop. And then sometimes, and some of you may can relate to this, have you ever spoken the word and then boom, it like it hit harder? Look, that's the enemy hitting you harder. So you have to hit him back. And then he hit you, you got to hit him again. You hit him with the word of God. You hit him with the praise of the Lord, okay? I'm explaining this. I wasn't intending to say this, but I'm explaining this to you how God dealt with me at one time about this. Because he showed me, this was like 2003, 2004, I think, maybe in 2005. When I was dealing with a sinus infection headache that I had never had in my life. And how that, I'm like, oh my God, what is this? I've had migraines. I've shared this story with many of y'all on the broadcast. I had migraines at the age of 13. I used to count them, so many in one day. And many of y'all, some of y'all know about migraines. Them jokers ain't nothing to play with, okay? But at least with a migraine, when they hurt you after so many hours of most of the day, when they wear off, you so wore out, you just go to sleep. With a sinus infection headache, it's like you might get 30 minutes of sleep a night. But anyhow, God had begun to show me about fighting a good fight of faith. Because for a whole week that time, and remember, I had to go to work. I had to be at work early for a whole week. I didn't get no more about 30 minutes of sleep a night. I mean, the pain had me up all through the night, okay? Especially when, you know, it's coming to nighttime. Good Lord, it just... And the Lord began to deal with me one night because my wife used to get up with me, walk me around. And so one night, I was hurting so bad out of them nights, and I didn't even wake up because it's like, you know, even with her walking me around, we walking around 2 hours and stuff and walking, and man, it just, and so I didn't even bother getting up. And I remember as I went into the kitchen part of the house we were living in at that time, man, I'm hurting so bad. This pain just unbearable. And God began to bring this movie back to me. And how this guy, who was an American soldier one time, where the enemy captured him, and they wanted to get the secrets out of him. So what they did, they put his hands in some kind of instrument, and it was to crush his fingers. And the purpose of that was to break him down and make him tell the secrets. And the harder they squeezed that thing and crushed his finger, the more he started hollering and yelling, but he started singing like an American flag song or something. He never gave them the secrets, but he just jumped and hollered, and he kept on, and finally he ended up getting set free. Well, God dealt with me about that, and how that when the enemy hit me, I need to hit him back. And I remember, like I said, I wouldn't tend to say this tonight. I remember, that's why I tell you about a healing miracle. Pain was so tremendous, so unbearable. Even when I said hallelujah, it's like it just got worse. And I was really about to give up until I just got tired. I got tired. I got upset because I got tired of this pain hitting me hard like this. And I'm like, every time I say hallelujah, if I say hallelujah, it's like, boom, it hit me harder. And I said, wait a minute. No, this can't be right. Now, of course, I knew that nothing else could help me. So I had to stay with what I got was with the praise of the Lord. And so as it hit me harder, I came back with another hallelujah. Then it hit me again, and I come back with another hallelujah. It was like people, like I tell you, I'm not making this up. This was going back and forth. I even got to a point I started singing praises to God while that pain was hit. I kept singing, and I ain't going to tell you no story. I was shaking that chair and gripping it hard because that pain was hitting, but I kept singing praise to God. And people, I'm going to be honest with you, if I had to guess, all of that probably lasts, if I'd say maybe 40 minutes. And then, you know, as I kept singing, I was singing songs like hallelujah and all that. And as I kept singing, all of a sudden, it just like, I felt that I was getting stronger. And even though the pain was there, the pain felt like it was lessening up. And then people, it's like I felt a pop. It just like this pop went on my head, and the pain just stopped instantly. People, it's like I never had a headache. And I remember I stood straight up in the flow. And I said, oh, my God. And you know, if I had to say if there was one thing out of it that shocked me, what shocked me is like it felt like I never had a headache. And I'm standing up there like, Lord. And that's when God started dealing with me more and let me know, say, you're in a faith fight. You have to fight. But you got to remember this, people. When you realize what you got, okay, and what it can do, and you act on that, you got to understand that you have the upper hand over the enemy. Because remember, the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty through someone, but mighty through God. So you have a weapon that is not carnal, which means it's spiritual, and it's the weapon that's mighty through God. Now, if you really believe that God is omnipotent, like his word said, then to get a weapon that's through him, it has to be a powerful weapon that is more powerful than the enemy's. Do you get what I'm saying? Because if you, once again, if you believe that God is omnipotent, like the Bible says, and he has given you a weapon, that means that the weapon he has given has to be more powerful than the enemy's. Mm-hmm. That's where realization come in at. When you realize what you got. Now, when you realize what you got, that comes from what? From knowing the word. That's why we are told in Ephesians chapter 6, and take with you what? The sword of the spirit, which is what? Which is the word of God. If you ever notice that in Ephesians chapter 6, that armor that God talk about, all the parts in a sense is more like for a defense. You got one out of that armor that is offense, and that's the sword of the spirit. Most everything else is like a defense, okay, for you to defend yourself from the blows of the enemy, okay? The sword of the spirit It's an offense where you can strike him with it. And so when the enemy hit me with that pain, I hit him back the word and with praise. So I was singing praise to God. I was speaking the word. It was a back and forth thing. Boom, boom, boom. It's like a you seeing two boxers in a boxing match, two boxers going at it. Okay? That's how it was, people. Like I said, some of y'all listen to me tonight said, boy, that's just a good story you made up. Wow. It's not no story, people. This is for real. And God just brought this back to me. Like I told you, he's been dealing with me again about this about the last week or two. And he brought it back to me that, son, you're in a faith fight. And many times I look how, and I have to apply this to myself personally, how many times I'm so easy to forget. To forget what he did for me back on that testimony I gave you about. And forgetting that what he showed me. Okay? You're in a faith fight. But through that faith fight, God can bring forth a healing miracle. Do you know that? Amen. He can bring forth a healing miracle. I just looked at, whoa. I look at just how that night. Like I said, the most fascinating, shocking thing about me is how when that pain stopped, it just like I never had it. That's one of the best ways I can describe it to you, people. It's like I never had it. Once that pop came and it stopped, you know, I was like, and I stood straight up like, Lord. And people, when I stood straight up, I wasn't even tired. Like I said, anytime you have a bad migraine or have, especially sinus infection, headache for so long, so many hours and stuff, that stuff, it does a wear on your body. And even when it cools down, about to stop, you be so tired, man, you just want to lay down and sleep. I tell y'all, it's just like, have you ever been sleeping and drunk coffee and how it woke you up? Like, boom, that's how I was. And I remember I stood straight up and I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. But it was just so, be honest with you, shocking and surprising to me how that when it snapped and stopped, it was like I never had a headache. You know, hallelujah. You know what I see also from that, people? The things that you're going through right now, the reward that you're going to get for holding on through those things, the reward going to be so great, it's going to be just like you never went through something. You get what I'm saying? You're going to be just like, you'll be like, yeah, that did happen to me. But the reward going to be so great. You know, it just, all that other stuff, it just don't weigh on you like the beauty of being rewarded for holding on to Christ. Glory to God. So I just thank God for another blessed night tonight, doing part three tonight. You know, we got two parts left. Part four Saturday, Lord say the same. Part five is going to be on Sunday. Okay. Glory to God. And thank you, Jesus. So let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who have once again blessed us on this blessed day and bless us to go into the Word of God, to understand the Word, the Scriptures. And, Lord, we do truly thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you bless me with strength in my body to come before the people this day on the broadcast to deliver your message, your word unto them. I thank you, Lord, for giving them a heart to seek you, to seek your face, to know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Lord God, I pray that you will water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase. Lord, we will give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, Heart to Heart, Brotherly and the Handmaidens. Look forward to advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And then I will be back Saturday with part four, Spiritualist Reincarnation, Divine Judgment, Eternal Progress, and Miracles, Part 4, looking at the broadcast, doing a hour broadcast, the Lord say the same, on Saturday. It may be from 5:30 to 6:30. Look for the advertisement. And then from 7 to 8, once again, another heart-to-heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. So, thank God for all you that have been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.